Job 38. The message today is the unceasing worship of the Word of God in heaven and on earth. Again, the unceasing worship of the Word of God in heaven and on earth. I want to read several passages to you, starting with Job 38. Verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and declare unto me. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding." Verse 7. When the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. Now Matthew 2. Verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east, and are come to worship him." And look down at verse 11. And they came into the house and saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Opening their treasures, they offered unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Luke 2. Verse 8. And there were shepherds in the same country abiding in the field and keeping watch by night over their flock. And an angel of the Lord stood by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Be not afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this is the sign unto you. You shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." John 12. Verse 37. But though he, our Lord, had done so many signs before them, yet they believed not on him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" For this cause they could not believe, for that Isaiah said again, "He hath blinded their eyes, and he hardened their heart, lest they should see with their eyes and perceive with their heart, and should turn, and I should heal them." These things said Isaiah, because he saw his glory, and spake of him. And who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Hebrews 1. Verse 1. Concerning our Savior, it says, "Who being the effulgence of his glory and the very image of his substance, and upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, having become by so much better than the angels, as he hath inherited a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he says, And let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels he saith, Who maketh his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. But of the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever, and the scepter of uprightness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. And thou, Lord, in the beginning didst lay the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou continuest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a mantle shalt thou roll them up as a garment, and they shall be changed. But thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of thy feet. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all these things that you have told us about your Son. Our God, the half has not been told. We are thankful that if the scriptures telling everything he did were written, the world itself could not contain all the books that should be written. But we have read enough, our Father, to learn a little of who this one is, whom you sent into the world to save sinners. And we desire, our Father, that we should understand the honor and glory that is rightfully his, and the honor and the glory that we should bestow upon him. So bless us to that end, we pray. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse as you promised, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If you wanted to prove the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ from the Gospels, what would you show to any man that challenged the fact that our Savior was God manifest in the flesh? I've read many books, and some of them approach it this way. They tell us this. When Jesus performed miracles, those miracles prove that he is God, because who but God could perform miracles? But that evidently is wrong, because you have read in the Old Testament about Elijah. Did Elijah perform miracles? You say, yes. Did Elisha perform miracles? You say, yes. But were they God? You say, no. And so that's no proof. You say, well, the fact that he was able to look into the minds of men and tell them what was there, as he said to Nathanael, before Philip called you, when you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you. He was able to penetrate the thoughts of men. Therefore, he is God. I remember Elisha telling Gehazi, I saw you when you went and you told a lie unto Naaman the leper. I know. You say, yes. He was able to look into the hearts of men. Well, was Elisha God? You say, no. Well, then how can you prove that the Lord Jesus was God, as he's presented to us in the Gospels, without controversy? The answer is evident. Because of his acceptance of all worship that was proffered him. He's the only one who did. When Peter was approached by Cornelius, and Cornelius fell at the feet of Peter and was going to worship him, and Peter lifted him up and said, "Stand up, I am a man like you are." The Lord Jesus never said that when people came and fell at his feet. And in like manner, when any other man, whoever he was, even the apostle Paul and Barnabas, when they performed a miracle at Lystra, those that were in charge of the worship came and were going to offer sacrifice to them. And Barnabas and Saul rent their garments and said, "We are men of like passions with you. Do not do this thing." Why? Because worship was going to be offered them, and they absolutely refused it. And now let's go above man to angels. And John, who should have known better, in Revelation, an angel that was so magnificent was talking to him and explaining things of the future. And it said that when he heard this, he fell down before the angel to worship him. And the angel said, "Do it not, worship God." And he did it again. And the angel said, "Do it not, worship God." All beings, human and angelic, when men came to worship them, forbade that worship and told them to rise up. "I am a man just as you are. But you will look in vain to see the Lord Jesus as he was approached and worshiped so many times." And the Lord Jesus never told anyone who worshiped him, "Rise up. I'm nothing but a man like yourself." That is the proof that Jesus Christ is God. Now, you find in the Gospels different ones worshiping our Lord for different reasons. At times, you find wise men coming to worship him. At times, you find a leper worshiping him. You find the Syrophoenician woman worshiping him. You find Jairus worshiping him. You find a blind man worshiping him. And not one of them was forbidden to worship him. And also, you find one demon-possessed worshiping him. And whenever he was approached and men prostrated themselves at his feet to worship him, he never gave them a word forbidding that worship. Why? Because worship is rightfully his. And here is something that perhaps you have never realized before. That from the moment of creation until the end of eternity, which shall never end, the Lord Jesus has unceasingly been worshipped. Now think. I read to you from Job 38 for this reason, combined with Hebrews chapter 1. The one who was doing the creating there, we are told in John 1, in Colossians 1, and in Hebrews 1, the one who is doing the creating that we read about is our Savior, the Word of God. And whenever he does this creating, this is what God tells us. God, speaking to Job, asks him this question, because Job has boasted, "Oh, if I could come before God, I would tell him, I would justify myself." And so God presents himself to Job. And he asks Job this question, "Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth?" And he tells about the beginning of creation. He said, where were you when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Think what has happened now. Think of what he's telling us. He is telling us that there were angelic beings before there was any universe. And when God laid the foundation of the world, because he is explaining it in a way that we can understand, had God explained how he created the world, nobody then or now would be able to understand it. And so God tells about his creation of the universe. And it said this, that he had previously created angels. And all the angels of God, please notice that, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted for joy. And we have the Lord Jesus Christ as the eternal Word, bringing creation into existence. And it said that when he did it, the morning stars were singing together, and the sons of God were shouting for joy. What does it mean? It means from the first day that there was ever a creation, that there was ever anything material, when God brought matter into existence, it says that he was being worshipped as the creator. You say, well, from the first day of creation, he was worshipped. Yes, I told you. And this worship of the Lord Jesus is unceasing in heaven, because that is where creation began, and on earth. And that is why I read to you passages from the Gospels. And I could have read to you passages also from the book of Revelation, showing that our Lord Jesus was worshipped in heaven, and he was worshipped on earth, and he shall be worshipped in heaven again for all eternity. Because the praise given to the Lord Jesus, it says, it is to be unto the ages of the ages, not unto the end of one age, but unto the ages of the ages. And the worship that began the day of creation shall never cease. It shall go on forever. What Christians, evangelical Christians, fail to understand is that creatures have been made to worship God. Why do you think that all of these hundreds of millions of angels were brought into existence? To witness the power of God, the attributes of God displayed when he brought this universe into existence. And what happened was this. It is not that they were assigned to worship him. He simply brought them round him and said, now, watch. And it said that he spake and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And when God spoke this universe into existence, it said that these angelic beings were thrilled. It says the morning stars sang together and the sons of God shouted for joy. Why? They could not contain themselves. That is why. When you see a mighty champion go forth and conquer his enemy, you shout. And when they saw creation become before their eyes into existence, they were unable to contain themselves and they shouted for joy. Now, what they began doing at that time, they have continued doing to this day, right now in heaven. Without rest, day or night, angelic beings are saying to our Savior, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The Father, Son, and Spirit are being worshipped now. They began to be worshipped the day of creation. And the worship shall never cease. And the Lord Jesus is the one who is brought to our attention. Now think of this. you would think, and you may hesitate before you would fall at the feet of a man and worship him. But the Lord Jesus is different from every other man. Our Savior is God manifest in the flesh. It says, in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And the incarnate Savior, though he was veiled as to who he was before the eyes of men, because this is what John the Baptist said concerning the Israelites, there standeth one in your midst whom you know not. Think of this. Suppose the Lord Jesus had come with all his glory as God instead of just appearing as a man with that glory veiled. What do you think man would have done? They would have been overpowered. There would have been no reason for faith to be exercised as to who he was. The Lord Jesus said this, unless you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. Well, if I saw this divine being come down and manifest himself, I would know who he was. All the angels did. But the Lord Jesus came to earth and lived among men, and he wanted men to look upon him, the life that he lived, to listen to him, the words that he spoke, and to comprehend as Philip did, as Nathaniel did, as all the apostles did, who he was. It was something that was not automatic. It was something that took time in the hearts of some. Others, it happened so suddenly. When Nathaniel was to be introduced to the Lord Jesus, he was told this, come, we want to show you the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. And Nathaniel said, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? And he was told, come and see. And the Lord Jesus said, behold, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. And Nathaniel said, how do you know me? And he said, before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you. And immediately he knew he was in the presence of a divine being. He said, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. You see how quickly he learned? But the remarkable thing is this, that his own apostles were slower than Nathanael in grasping who he was. When a storm arose on the Sea of Galilee, our Lord Jesus was asleep in the boat. Who would think that this man sleeping was God manifest in the flesh? And the disciples come back and rudely awaken him and say, Master, wake up. Do you not care that we are perishing? And the Lord Jesus arose and spoke to the wind and to the sea, and the storm disappeared. And when he did that, his disciples simply said this, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the sea obey him? They did not know who he was yet. But then in chapter 14 of Matthew, when he's walking upon the water, and when he saves Peter from drowning and comes into the boat, it said that they worshipped him and said, surely you are the Son of God. You see, it's not automatic that a man would look upon Jesus and see who he is and confess who he is. But eventually they do. Now, throughout the Gospels, our Savior was constantly being worshipped. But worship means different things as you offer it to different people. And those that worship the Lord Jesus had a different comprehension of who he was. And this is the marvel, that the ones who understood the most, the greatest, and acknowledged the Lord Jesus to the fullness of who he was, were fallen angels and elect angels. You say, how is that? All of us can understand the elect angels, Michael and Gabriel, and all those that did not fall worshiping the Lord Jesus. But Legion, his name was called Legion because he was filled with demons. And yet, when the Lord Jesus approached him, this demon-filled man came and fell at the feet of Jesus and worshiped him. And that was the most intelligent worship that was ever given the Lord Jesus when he was on earth. You say, how can you say that? Do you not realize that these demons who were worshiping him on earth, as well as those elect angels that are worshiping him on earth, were present at that time, sinless, as the morning stars singing together, and all the sons of God shouting for joy? And it says this, that the unclean spirits knew him who he was. And they had the fullest comprehension, and the only ones who fully understood that God manifest in the flesh was in their midst. And this demon unwillingly worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. And they knew who he was. They said, we know you, who you are. You are the Son of God. You are the Holy One of God. They knew who he was, and they worshiped him. And so angelic beings with fullest comprehension worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, others worshiped the Savior, and their knowledge of the Savior was small. Think of this. When a leper approached the Savior, he simply said to him this. He said, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. He worshiped him. Why? Because here is one, and I know he has power to cure me of my leprosy. He had that great a comprehension of the Savior. And the Lord Jesus, being moved with compassion, put forth his hand and said, I will, be thou made clean. And so here is a leper. And he worshiped the Lord Jesus because he knew that there was power in the Lord Jesus to bestow blessing upon him. Now, others also worship the Lord Jesus. The disciples worship him with a greater degree of understanding. When he stilled that storm, when he walked upon the water, they had a greater understanding that he was the Son of God. And they worshiped the Lord Jesus. But there was this Syrophoenician woman who had a young daughter who was demon-possessed. And she came and she worshiped the Lord Jesus. And she said, Lord, help me. And the Lord Jesus did help her. What comprehension did she have as she worshiped the Lord? She knew that he was worthy, that he had power. And so with what understanding she had, she worshiped the Lord Jesus. And one of the most moving portions is when the blind man whom our Savior healed in John chapter 9 was cast out of the synagogue because he was standing up for the Lord Jesus, his sinlessness, his integrity. But he did not know who he was to the full. And so the Lord Jesus, when they heard that he had been cast out, found him and came to him and asked him this question. He said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, who is he, Lord, that I may believe? And the Lord Jesus said, you have both seen him, and he it is who speaketh unto thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. You see the blessings bestowed upon this man? And he did not know who Jesus was, but there was life in him, and there was perception in him. And when the Lord Jesus came and said, the man who is talking to you is the Son of God, He said, I believe. And he worshiped him. And so here are some that do not have a great comprehension of the worthiness of our Savior, but they know his power to heal lepers, to exorcise demons. They know that much. And now this blind man knows that the one who opened his eyes was the Son of God, and he's worthy of worship. The wise men that came from the east, they knew that the King of Israel was worthy of worship, and they came and worshiped him. And the day of Christ's birth, now remember, the day of creation, the Lord Jesus was worshipped in heaven. And it says in Luke chapter 2, the day of his birth, one angel came at first and was telling the greatness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then it says, suddenly there was with this angel a multitude of angelic beings. And that could be all the angels of heaven. Because it says in Job 38, when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, there was one angel, and then the angelic beings of heaven came and they worshiped the Lord Jesus Christ on the first day of his birth. It was not that Jesus became the Son of God. The Lord Jesus was born the Son of God. The Lord Jesus is the eternal Word of God. And all of these angelic beings that saw him bring this universe into existence, they worshiped him in heaven in a past eternity. And they are worshiping him the first day of his birth. And they shall never cease worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. The elect angels have, from the day that he created the heavens and the earth, worshiped him. They have continued to this day. And that is why I had Isaiah 6 read to you. It says there that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. His train filled the temple. He saw this magnificent being. And who was that sitting upon the throne? He said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. He has seen Jehovah, the Eternal One. Now, who was that that he saw? You say, was it God the Father? That's why I read to you in John chapter 12, because it is quoting the portion from Isaiah 6. It says that Isaiah saw him, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he spake of his glory. And so the one that was being worshipped in Isaiah 6 is the Lord Jesus Christ. And John tells us that in chapter 12. And so our Savior is worshipped as God when he brings this universe into existence. He is worshipped as God in Isaiah 6. And when he is born in Bethlehem of Judea, he is worshipped as God, the one, the creator of the universe, who has been made flesh by this multitude of angelic beings. And they should know, because they have witnessed his power. Now I'm thinking of this, and I have to laugh when I think of men who are denying the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And yet Paul is able to produce between 500 and 600 witnesses that have seen the Lord Jesus raised from the dead. Now, this is what is so amusing, that if you say, give me proof, give me witnesses that this earth has been created and not evolved, I would simply speak to the hundreds of millions of angelic beings, and I would say, is it evolution or is it creation? And all the angels in heaven would laugh out loud at all the fools on earth that are speaking of evolution. They would say, we were there when he spake, when he commanded, and it was done. When it stood fast, we were there when we saw the Son of God, the Word of God, speak and bring this universe into existence. Creation, evolution, why, that is blasphemy for this reason. It is not only a man saying, well, I'm willing to be open-minded. God, throughout the scriptures, is continually telling us that he is the creator of man, of animals, of the stars. It says all of these things are witnesses to God being the creator. It says this, when I behold the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? And the apostle Paul says that man is without excuse, because the invisible things of him since the creation of the world are clearly seen, being perceived by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, his divinity, his deity. And so this universe that was brought into existence by the Lord Jesus Christ, you have 100 million angels that will testify that he created it, that he is worthy of worship. And this is the remarkable thing. You have the Father saying that Jesus created the heavens and the earth. And you have the angels verifying that he did this. Now, if you are hesitant to worship the Lord Jesus, this is what the Father said to all the angels. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. The Father is commanding these angels of heaven to worship the Son. Let all the angels of God worship him. And they worshiped him when he came into the world. And they were worshiping him when he created the world. And he will be worshiped jointly with the Father throughout eternity. It says this in Revelation 5. I did not read it to you. Concerning the worthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says, worthy is the Lamb that hath been slain to receive the power and riches and wisdom and might and glory and honor. That's worship directly to the Son. And then it says that he is sitting at the Father's right hand. And it says, to him that sitteth on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and dominion forever and ever. And it says that heaven worshiped him again. And I told you that I would speak to you today about the unceasing worship of the Word of God. And I've shown you that it began in eternity and it shall continue throughout eternity. He is worthy. Worship thou him. Let us pray. Our Father, indeed, it could be asked, what man is this? What manner of man is this? And we are thankful that the time comes in the hearts of all of us who have been saved by this man who made himself of no reputation. We are thankful that the time comes when we shall say with Thomas, my Lord and my God. Our Father, as we consider this, that our very being was brought into existence by him, that we are sustained by him, that he who knew no sin, the living Son of God, was put to death, was made sin for us, and now we shall live eternally because he experienced death. We thank you for the greatness of this one, and God, who spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, shall with him freely give us all things. O God, may all who are here see the greatness of this Son, see the greatness of his sacrifice, and trust him for their salvation. Save souls, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.